Now, there's two verses in this chapter, but we'll read this one verse and then I'll pray. And it says this in verse 11 of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to end. Isn't that awesome? He has placed eternity in our hearts. Father, we just love you. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. We just acknowledge you in this place here today and in the lives of every individual that worships and honors you, Lord. Father, for those that are present here in Middle Georgia and those that are all over the world that can hear this, Lord, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that every eye be open, every ear be open, and every heart to be able to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church in Jesus' name. Father, this is a new season and a new time, a time we call 2020, Father, which has an assimilation in America as 2020 vision, Lord. We relate it to seeing. Father, this is the year that the eyes of the body of Christ are going to be opened, Lord, in a realm that we haven't really ventured into much, Father. But because of your goodness and your grace and your everlasting faithfulness, Lord, you are bringing us to the fullness of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it and we trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let me just read something in verse 15 of chapter 3. And you have grace for me if I jump around a little bit, will you? I'll try to pull it all together in the end, okay? All right. And if anything is not clear, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Because I may tap on or into some things that you're just not there yet, okay? But let that be okay and know that God is good and he's working in each one of us. He's faithful. He began the work. He's faithful to continue it even unto completion. Amen. So in verse 15, it says this of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. That which has already been and what is to be has already been. That which is has already been. And what is to be has already been. Is that in the Bible? All right, so I'm starting right off with something that doesn't make sense. What am I saying? That which is already was. And that which is to be already happened. It's a rerun. So what I'm telling you is this. Let's just think a moment. When the Lord opens up a prophet's eyes and shows him the future, how can he do that? Because it's already happened. All right? We're living it out. We are the characters of the DVD and we're in the movie. It's already recorded on the disc. They just haven't got to our chapter yet. You know that? We're characters being introduced into the movie, but we don't know how the movie ends. We're only at the part that we're at right now. But the whole DVD's already been recorded. That's how God can show us and do things, having the end already known before he begins it. Are you with me? In the human mind, that's impossible. It'll never change. It will always be impossible in the human mind. All right? So let's not use our human minds today. You can put them back on when you walk out of this building, okay? You can go back to thinking the way you always thought and staying operating within the parameters that you've always operated in, okay? That's perfectly okay. But for right now, I'm asking you to suspend your judgment. Can you do that? I want you to just take the limits off of God. Take the limits off of what you believe, what you call real and true, and let it go just for an hour. And then you can put all that back on again and be totally safe and secure in what you believe after that, okay? Thank you. So, let me get a little foreground and then we'll get into the meat of this thing. Who's heard of Jacob's ladder? What is Jacob's ladder? Somebody just kind of shouted out. It's what? He was climbing in? Correct, he did. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 28. We're going to go from verse 10 through verse 16. Genesis 28. Jacob had a dream. Genesis chapter 28. Am I there? I am there. Are you all there? Chapter 28, verse 10. Let me just read it out of this. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones that had placed... Yeah, you're reading before I am. Don't get me all confused. Okay. Read to yourself. Okay. You're getting ahead of my brain. All right. Third grade reading level right here. Okay. That's right. She's using the mind of Christ. Amen. So he came to a certain place, stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones that it placed and put it at his head. So he used a rock for a pillow, and you thought your bed was hard. And he laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and you will and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. I love this next line. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. I did not know it. That's huge. So, let's just talk for a second. Jacob had a dream. In that dream, the Lord revealed information to him. He saw a ladder and angels ascending up that ladder and down that ladder. Okay? And when he awoke, that dream to him was absolutely real. But the information was conveyed to him through a dream. When he woke up, he said, the Lord is here. I didn't even know it. Is it possible the Lord is in your life in some capacity that you don't even know it? Is it possible? Go with me to John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1. This is going to be where Jesus has got his disciples, Philip and Nathaniel. And I just want to start in verse 47 as they were walking towards Jesus. Verse 47 says, Jesus saw Nathaniel coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit or no guile in some translations. That means he has no hidden agenda. He has no facade. What you see is what you get. You can absolutely trust what that guy tells you. There's no hidden message. There's no trying to figure out, well, does he really mean? It's none of that. It's straightforward. Blam, you get it from him. I think Jesus really appreciated that about him. Let me go on. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. With what eyes did Jesus see Nathanael? Huh? His God eyes, his spirit eyes. Do you have those? Okay, let me go on. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe you will see greater things than these? And he said to him, now listen, Jesus always talked in parables. He never told anybody exactly what was going on, except for two people in the New Testament were the only two people he was straightforward with, and Nathanael was one of those guys. He didn't tell him a parable. He didn't pull his punches because he knew Nathanael was a rubber meets the road guy. Jesus can go straight to the point and tell him straight to the point. Not everybody could he do that with. And this is what he said to him. Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I want to submit to you that Jesus was Jacob's ladder. The same thing that Jacob saw, the angels ascending and descending, was happening with Jesus. The same ladder, the same access up and down. And Nathanael was blessed to be able to see that. What eyes did he see him with? Spiritual eyes. We all agree on that. So his spiritual eyes were open to be able to see that. Are you with me? All right. Holy Spirit, should I go straight for the rubber meets the road? How much time? 6:30, I better go for it. All right, you Nathanaels. Go ahead and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to go start in the end of 4 because I want to have time to tell you what the Lord showed me. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Are you there? We're going to start in verse 16. I want you to pay attention to when I get to verse 7 of chapter 5. And this is the verse. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't we know that verse very, very well? I want to really look at where that verse is planted in this book. Okay, that verse is used several times in the Bible. But where is that planted in this book, in this chapter? So, starting in verse 16 of 4, we're going to read through to the end of 8 in 5. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what?
Eternal.
So we look at the eternal, invisible things. They're eternal and they're invisible to natural eyes. Right? But we all know that our spiritual eyes can see, don't we?
That's right.
We all know that they can. If they'll look, they can see. So let's go on. Because I'm about to take you really off the deep end here. And it's always been in your Bible. Verse 1 of 5. For we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed or dissolved in some translations. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What did you just read right there? You have a body in heaven right now. That's not even the good part. But I want you to think about this. You already have a body in heaven. That if this one, this earthly body is destroyed, don't worry about it. You already got another body. Now, Do you think that body is being used, or is it in a storage plant somewhere? It's being used. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go on. You Bible scholars are already going way ahead of me. All right. Eternal in the heavens, verse 2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed we have been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. In our flesh, in our natural physical body, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, not because we want to cast off our flesh, but further clothe that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Are you with me? That's in this life right now while you still have both bodies. That's what it's saying. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. God's the one that has prepared us for this. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. God's done it. Who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident. Here we go. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. What did he just say? As long as you're at home in your physical body, you're actually absent from the Lord. That's what he's saying. As long as you're at home in this body, you're absent from the Lord. No condemnation. He's not judging anybody. He's not saying you're right or wrong. He's just telling you a fact. So, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Why'd he throw that in there? Because it is going to take faith for you to be at home in your spiritual body right now. Not by the sight of your eyeballs looking at this natural body. It's going to take you to use faith to believe what he just told you, that you have a heavenly body and it's with Jesus. And as long as you're at home in this natural body, you're not occupying that one. I don't want to say occupying. I'm going to say cognizant of. Is that better? Let's go on. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, he's saying, I'm really happy that the times that I'm not cognizant of this body, but I'm operating in that body, in the heavenly realm, with the Lord, is much more better for me. Don't worry about any of that. He loves it. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent. So no matter which body you're occupying, to be well pleasing to him. Are you with me? So what he's saying is, it doesn't matter whether you're living there or living here right now. Whatever you're doing, just be pleasing to the Lord where you're at. Okay? That's our aim. But also, there's a distinction. Is it possible, really possible, to actually be aware of being seated in heavenly places? Is it actually possible to be aware of that? Or is it actually possible for you and I to operate in the heavenly realm now? It is. It really, really is. You can do that now. However, there's a lie in the body of Christ, and it's been in the church for longer than I've been alive, that you have to die to go to heaven. I want to let you know something. Jesus is opening the eyes of the body of Christ now. He's starting to open the congregation's eyes that the power is in the people. It's not in one guy or one ministry or one televangelist. It's in you. You have full access to everything of God, just like I do and anybody else does. Really. And now Jesus taking the limits off of you in the Spirit. But it's going to take us setting our mind on things above and our affections in our heavenly body with the Lord rather than putting it on the earth and being preoccupied with the things on the earth. Okay? We've heard these verses. I don't want to keep you super late, but I got a lot to tell you. I'm going to be unpacking this every time Pastor Trey lets me. There's a lot I want to share. I've had the last 2 weeks off. If I start crying, you just forgive me, okay? I just get touched pretty easy with the Lord. I just love him so much. And I'm so blown away at how much he's loved me because I've lived a really hard life. I've been abused a lot in my life. And so when the realization of how much he really loves me hits me, it makes me cry. So just be gracious with me. But you all have heard my testimony. If you haven't, I've been to heaven. I've met the Lord. I've been there. I've been to outer darkness. I've had all these supernatural experiences, but the Lord was the one that initiated every bit of it. He plucked me up. He brought me up. He chose to show it to me. But as I've been studying in the Bible, we are to grow up in Christ. We're the sons and daughters of God, and it's up to us to grow up and be with him. Are you with me? So, I have been deliberately pursuing the Lord. How many of y'all have been deliberately pursuing the Lord? I'll tell you what. He wants to get caught. He's like in those old Abner movies, you know, where the Daisy May or whatever it is, and the boys take off running, you know, and then the girls chase after them, the hillbilly girls chase after them to get their man. And those girls, they're pretty stout. They can run fast. I'll tell you what, they're going to get the good guy. And they go after him, you know. Jesus is just kind of letting us catch him. He wants us to catch him. He wants it easy for us. And I want to let you know, he really, really loves us. He really does. I'm just going to tell you some verses. You can write them down or get the video or the CD. John 10:10 says that Jesus says he is the door. Y'all know that, right? And that I shared with you that he's Jacob's ladder. The opening is him, through him. He's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. It's only through him. And he says when he brings us in, we get to go in and come out. He's the door that we go in and come out. Okay? So what I'm sharing with you is your ability to experience supernatural things by using Jesus and your relationship with Jesus as the one who shows you around, your guide, your confidant, your friend, our Lord, our Savior. And he is more than happy to do that. So, it's a growing experience. The first time that I met the Lord, and he was sitting on the throne, I was on the carpet and I was kneeling down and I said, Lord, or Holy Spirit, I want to see you descend on me when I pray for this guy. Because I always feel your presence when I pray, but I want to see you coming down on me, Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting down there and I'm on all fours. And he says, you want to see me? Stand. So I stood up. He says, raise your hands. And I raised my hands. And there I was in heaven. Jesus was on a throne at a 45 over there. He didn't even look at me. It was like thousands of people on their faces. Beautiful clothes, just thousands of them there. And he was so holy, everyone was on their face. And it's a long story, I don't want to tell it all right now, but the glory was so strong, I said, I need to bow down like everybody else. He said, you wanted to see me? Stand. It's like, where's the loving Jesus at right here? But I just stood there and I took it. It was awesome. Long story short, he's since showed me how really loving and fun he really is. And I didn't realize that about him. So I can't tell you everything that happened, but if you'll look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul went into heaven. And he saw some things and heard some things and learned some things that he was not allowed to share. I'm not allowed to share a lot of the stuff that he showed me either just the other day. But I do want to tell you one thing. That remember the last time I did communion and I was talking to you about that I was going into heaven and that Jesus met me there on a cloud and that he did communion with me and I was sharing that with you? Since that day, I have not been able to get back in again. This is going to help you. I'd been trying to go back in, and for some reason, I felt very blocked, like as if there was no access point for me. Because all we use is our heavenly man, our spiritual eyes. And they open and you see, you just see. How many of you can see me right now? You on video, you can see me also. Those of you that are listening, you can't see me, but you can hear my words. But I couldn't see. I wanted to see, I wanted to see. I labored to see, I prayed to see, I fasted to see, I worshiped to see. I read my Bible, I quoted scriptures. The violent take it by force. I was being demonstrative. All the things I've taught you guys. Nothing. Nothing. And I'm thinking, Lord, what the heck is going on? And then just the other day, I was reading and studying, and these verses I'm reading right now to you just leaped out at me. Just leaped out at me. And then he said, I'll tell you that in a minute. And that right there was all that it took. I was sitting at my dining room table writing a bunch of notes, and all of a sudden I look up and there he was. There he was. Okay, now this part I could cry, and I'm sorry if I do. He met me there. There was this grass, beautiful grass, long grass, soft, and then it kind of dipped down about a foot, and then there was a river. And he had his feet in the water. And I sat down next to him in the water. And look at this. I'm only going to tell you this first part. We were sitting about this far away from each other. And I've had trouble in my relationships getting close to people. It's just, you know, I can be friends and all that, but to really get comfortable being close to people, I've had trouble with that. And I noticed that I was keeping Jesus at arm's length also. And I said, Lord, how come I can't just hug you and play like everybody else does? And he put his hand on my hand, you know, just kind of sit next to me. He was on that side, I was on this side. And he goes, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And then he pushed me in the river. He really did. I'll keep the rest of what happened after that to myself for a while. But I want to let you know something. It broke something inside of me. That the resistance of how I saw Jesus and other people, he just broke that. He loved me so much, he did, and it was excellent after that. So then that one took about 2 hours, and that was over. I don't want to go into it right now until the Lord tells me I can share it. So all of a sudden, now my eyes are open, and I can see anytime I want to see now. And so, of course, after that, about an hour later, I wanted to see some more. So I went to go see some more, and here's what happened. This one I can share with you. I was there in heaven and somebody was escorting me, but I don't know who they were. I couldn't see them. They were just right here. And there was a big amphitheater, great big amphitheater, white, You know, it just kind of goes like this, and it's in a roundish kind of area, and it's outside, and the speaker's there, and everybody can hear the speaker. You're all just kind of sitting around this big thing. And this person directed me to a lot of empty spots. Not a ton, but a lot of empty spots. And this guy was sitting there, and they just directed me to come sit next to the guy. And I sit down, and I look over. It was the pastor that used to be at this church. Yep. It was him sitting right there. I'm sitting over here. And he looked at me and gave me the nicest welcoming smile. Just the nicest, gentlest. And he patted me on the back, right on the shoulder right here. He just went and smiled and went right back to listening to the speaker. And I went, Lord, how can this be? How can this be? And he showed me that this is his church, and there's still lots of people that aren't here yet. And I went, okay, no disrespect, but I got to see this in the Bible. Guess what? Just as I was walking away to do something else, he goes, how about in Hebrews? So I went, okay, let's go and look. And look at this. I've started this with you before. In verse 18 of chapter 12, it says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched. You haven't come to the physical mountain. Jumping up to verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Look at this. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. They have church in heaven. I'm not kidding. They really have church in heaven. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, what the heck? And it's a church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. You guys, I want to tell you something. Let me go back. The Bible says that before you were even born, all the pages of your book were written. Right? It also said in Ecclesiastes that everything that is already happened. And everything that's going to happen already happened. God is able to show us whatever he wants to show us. If we just want to be with him. If we just want to know. If we just want to press in. You don't have to. Seriously, you really don't have to. If you're not comfortable with it, you do not have to. The Bible says that no matter how it is, whether you're at home in the body or whether you're not at home in your body, it's okay. Just make your aim to please the Lord. Amen? He's got that. He's got you. But I want to let you know that God's so good that there is more available to those who want more. You're not limited to have to be blind in this natural world spiritually. You're not limited to that. Now, I want to tell you something. You say, Robert, what good is it to be able to see or to go into there now and still be on the earth? What good is that? Do you know in John chapter 3, Jesus said that he was there with Nicodemus, but he was also in heaven? You know that? Also in John chapter 17, in verse 21, that God said, Jesus said to the Father, he says, you know, you and I are one. Let's make them one in us. So we are in God. In John chapter 14, he talks about that we are in the Lord and the Lord is in us, right? I and you in me, right? John chapter 15 says, if you abide in me, right? So, here's what I want to show you that is so powerful about this. When you pray, so often we are trying to say, Lord, fill me. Lord, free me. Lord, use me. As if we are seeking that he who is in us would manifest through us. Right? In another place it says in John chapter 14, it says that if we would love Jesus, that he and the Father would make their home with us. That word home is mansion. He would make that with us. So, all of these are saying about Jesus and God doing it in us and through us. Here's a secret that I have found out. If he's in me, then I'm looking for him to manifest through me. Aren't you? It says that you're in him, and he's asking you to manifest through him. Oh, that's a switch. Oh, we say it all the time. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Jesus says, I'm in you and you're in me. I'm in you and you're in me. How many of us say we are in Christ? In Christ, we're a new creation. In Christ, we're the righteousness of God. In Christ, we're complete. Where's Christ? He is in you, but he's also seated at the right hand of the Father. And you are too. In Christ. So, here, this will really help if you can get this. Instead of praying to get something you don't think you have, why don't you appear before the Lord instead? The Bible says each one of us have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If I would have just kept reading, it's exactly what it says. That is not a scary place at all. It's a wonderful place because every evil thing that's trying to attach itself to you is judged and it is tossed off of you and it has no right to you because you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And he will judge you as righteous and he will stand on your side and he will back you 100% when you stand before him. Because we're all going to give an account for what we did in our body. So here's the thing. These last 4 or 5 days, something has changed inside of me, and I just hope it gets even stronger that I'm able to convey it to you. This fear of not having or waiting on God or waiting for him to divvy it out or waiting for something to manifest has completely left me. Because when I go into his presence, it's not like that. You're abundant, you're prosperous, you're free, you're healthy, you're alive, you're young, you're energetic. Everybody's having fun. I watched these kids playing a game. It was the weirdest thing because I think we're still going to learn in heaven, I guess. These kids were pushing this ball, which is probably almost as tall as the ceiling. It was a giant blue ball. I mean, it was giant. And these two people were pushing it, and they'd go, and they'd push the ball. This other person wanted to play, and they're over there, and they want to push the ball, and they went, and was right inside the ball like a bubble. They couldn't push the ball. The other one on the other side, they could push it right back again. This one, push it right back again. This one here is trying to, they would walk right through the middle of the ball. They couldn't do it yet. I really believe that we're still going to be growing in heaven. We're still going to be experiencing and expanding. There's no end to the Lord. There's dimensions upon dimensions upon dimensions, kingdoms and possibilities in Christ that we don't even know. The Bible doesn't even mention them. But that doesn't mean they're not real. Now, I'm not saying anything about a doctrine or teach some doctrine. That is not wise. But it is wise to expand your awareness of God, to expand your relationship with him, and to let the word be your absolute grounding foundation. And that through the Bible, if it's going through the Bible and Jesus is leading you through it, the chances are it's safe. The chances are it's very safe. And I'm not saying that we need to be consumed with this, but I am saying that there is more available if you will press into it. I'm not saying I got all the answers. I'm only saying this is new, and I'm just sharing what's new. When we see who we are to the Lord Himself, something happens inside of us that frees us up, that to be able to believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are freely given to us, it takes the pressure off of you because you can already see into the spiritual realm. Are you with me? He can already show you ahead of time what you're walking into if you're spiritually awake to it. Are you with me? This isn't entertainment. It's, you're going to hate this phrase. Ready? Are you okay? It's you 2.0. It's not a different you. It's not get rid of the old guy. It's an upgrade in the heavenly realm. So let me just take a few more minutes. I got 7 minutes. 7 plus 2, because Liz started a little late. Let me just take a second. Now I just lost my train of thought. What was I just saying before I said about the time? 2.0. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So let me just ask you this. How many of you are going to be here, as far as you understand, when Jesus returns? You plan to be. The Bible says we put eternity in our hearts. So all of us should probably be expecting to never end. To never end. Right? This body may wear out, but you're going to never end. Right? If you're never going to end, and you are seated in heavenly places, and your citizenship is in heaven, and that Jesus did redeem you, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and all of this is absolutely true, shouldn't we be living that way? Absolutely. And if we really believe, and I know I do with my whole heart, and you that know me know I do, that I believe that the morning star, or that day star, is going to rise in our hearts, and our physical bodies are going to be filled with such glory of God that has a joy that is completely inexpressible, that is a life beyond the way you think right now. The way you think right now is going to be a dream, a fog, a haze. It's not life. The way the human mind thinks, it's not life. But the life of Christ is life itself. And it will be revealed in you and me, and our bodies will be converted and changed in the twinkling of an eye, and He will redeem this flesh when He returns again. That's a fact according to the Bible for those of us that are here when that happens. That's a fact. Well, if you and I believe that we're those people, shouldn't we be living to that end? Yes, sir. So we should take the limits off of God. We should take the limits off of ourselves. We should take what we've been wearing as the way that we see ourselves, the limitations we've been placing on ourselves by the way we've been raised, what we've had to live through, what troubles we're carrying, what responsibilities, though they may be great, that we have, to be able to go beyond that in the scope of who we are in Christ. When we can do that, whenever you meet another person, I'm telling you, I've been experiencing this for 4 or 5 days now. All you can think is, are they alive in the Spirit? Are they alive? Are they awake in the Spirit? Are they awake in the Spirit? I got a new saying. You want to hear it? I knew you would. I baited you. You know how you meet somebody and you go, if you were to die today, would you be in heaven? You ever heard people say that? I got another one. Are you going to live for eternity? Are you going to live for eternity? Then what does this little flicker of dilemmas and problems and troubles even matter? Really? Because if we put our hope and our trust and our identity into Christ, I guarantee you, as Pastor Trey's been teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, it will just start blooming inside of us because of the joy that we have, because we can actually participate in heavenly things now. So I'm just going to say this one last thing. Look where he put this verse in 2 Corinthians 5. So after he did the verse 8, that we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God. And I also trust we are well known to your conscience. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart, not in their inner man. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. Verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. When I was hanging out in those places, I'm telling you what, the love of God just explodes inside of you. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer, because now we see him completely different. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. What's he talking about? He's talking about the things in the temporary material world. Passed away, behold, all things have become new. That's really exciting. I didn't shout because I didn't want any of you that are sleeping to wake up. That is really exciting stuff. We are new creatures able to operate in two realms simultaneously. We're an entirely different kind of a being. We don't look at anyone now as being one-dimensional, 1.0, just a human being trying to get something from God, hoping he hears you, hoping you please him, hoping he's with you. We're 2.0 now. We're flesh and spirit. And the spirit part of us occupies the space of heaven, and the flesh part of us occupies the space on earth. And my last point, how many of you can keep your eyes open right now and you can see me with your natural eyeballs open? Now don't close your eyes. Picture your front door. Can you still see me? Can you see your front door? How can you do that? How can you have your natural eyes wide open and be seeing something that's not even in this room? That's the same way you participate in the heavenly realm and the natural realm simultaneously. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see, currently see my Father doing. How did he do that? because he could see the Father and be with the Father at the same time he was with us. The dimension of both were fully awake. That's the way you operate also. But somehow we dismiss the invisible and we really put our energy into the natural. Okay, God is wanting us to wake both of us up inside of us. I'll even give you one last point before I close. Do you know that there's a natural death where your physical body dies? Do you know that for some people there's something called a second death where their other body dies? You read it. It's in your Bible. We don't talk about the second death because we don't really relate to the spiritual body. We don't really relate to us actually being able to operate in the spirit and in the natural. Simultaneously, we're the only creatures created that can do that. And Jesus did it consistently. Consistently. But you say, well, Robert, you're explaining things that aren't real clear in the Bible. I don't see those in the Bible very often. I mean, it's really obscure because you have to get to the place to where you're awake enough. God's opening our eyes. I want to let you know stuff. There's stuff in the Bible that you know for a fact happened, but you can't prove it. Like, how about this one? Was Jesus the first person baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? I mean, fully baptized. Yes, he was the first one. Well, actually, John the Baptist might have been truly. But do you know what? Neither John the Baptist nor Jesus, does the Bible said, ever spoke in tongues. And we hang it as a major doctrine. And not one time in the Bible does Jesus pray in tongues. He doesn't. That doesn't mean he didn't. Might have been what he did when he went away on the mountaintops at night. How about this one? Jesus says, Father, I have fully manifested you. Everything I did in your name. Did you ever in one time in the Bible read that Jesus used the name of the Father? In the name of God. That he did anything. But he fully did it in his name, didn't he? Fully. And then we hear in the book of Acts where Peter and John, they demonstrated full blown in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we get saying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? There's more to it than just the surface. And relationship helps us to understand more. Be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything. He is our life. It's by him and his very life that God is going to raise us up. By Jesus' very life. Get to know him more. That's all I'm saying. He's knowable. He wants to do things with us beyond this natural realm. Let him. Let him. If you think things are getting squirrely, a little bit weird, ask Pastor Trey. He's the most level-headed Christian I know on the planet. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up. He truly is my grounding board. Because I can be the balloon on a string. Don't let go. Do not let go. So he's got me tied around his wrist so that I don't fly away, okay? He's the most grounded person I know that has the most fullest understanding of the Word of God and the most easy to understand truthfulness of what it is. And if you start getting a little bit out there, he is awesome at pulling you back to earth. He's great. He does it with me all the time. Okay? That's why I think, no, I'm being honest. I believe that's why God let me be a part of this congregation. Because he grounds me. Because I could really get out there sometimes. And you know what? It's like the explorer. You know, you got your buddy with you. And you're going, wow, this is so great. And there's a cliff right there. And it's like, whoa! And he rescues you from going off the edge of the cliff. Okay? So if this sounds like a cliff to some of you, let it go. But if it sounds like something else, like there's more to who you are. God is so good, there's more. And I would encourage you to go after it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I just thank you for everybody today. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that you're opening our eyes, and that I believe that in the year 2020, we will have a keen vision in the body of Christ, Lord. That you are revealing to us the things that have always been available. And that you're opening up our eyes and our hearts to even see things more than we've ever known was possible, Lord. Father, I ask that you put a protection and a guard on us, that we don't get too carried away or too weird, Lord. But Father, at the same time, let us not be afraid of going forward with you. So Lord, I just put our lives in your hands, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And that you will see to it that we are finished and complete, lacking nothing. And I trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I love you guys.